Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talanx operating result. We would like to bring your attention that all listeners are in listener mode and that the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, you have the opportunity to ask questions. If you want to ask a question, please press the star one on your touch-tone telephone. If you have any questions during the conference or you need help of the operator, please press star zero. So I would like to give the floor to Andrés Costa, the leader of head of group communications.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Moritz. Good morning also from me. Thank you for dialing in at this early hour. We will share the operating results up to the September 30, 2023. As usual, our finance chief financial officer, Enrique, will share up. You should have received the collected documents. If you have not received them, you can find them on our website at talanx.com. So, let's begin.
Yeah, thank you, Andrés. Yeah, good morning also from me, and thank you for dialing in so early today. I'm very happy to share the nine-month result with you. We have really good numbers, and we're very confident that the outlook for 2023, as for 2024, will be good. So I would like to start in a couple of key figures before going through the financial figures or the key figures. We've already. I'm sorry.
When it comes to the figures, I would like to focus on the primary insurance results. In the first 9 months, we had a revenue growth of more than 10% in the primary insurance sector. And to be precise, it was 13%. And at the same time, the bottom line, the net income, could be increased by 50%, which gave us, of course, the confidence that the outlook for 2023 could be increased or can be increased to more than 1.5 billion euros. 1.4 billion euros was the original forecast, but we increased it by 100 million euros. If you take a look at this slide, you can see that the forecast was also amended, was also changed here. The forecast for 2024 was also increased to 1.7 billion euros. And you might remember that last year at the strategy plan 2025, we planned for 1.6 billion euros, which shows us that we reached our 100 million target 1 year ahead of plan. And once again, we will have a return on equity of more than 10%, which means excellent figures here. Now let's talk about the quarterly figures more in detail. The first, the primary and the reinsurance, managed to reach the 32 million euros. This is an increase of 8%, a two-digit growth in the primary insurance business, and Hannover Re also increased very nicely. The group net income increased by 38%, up to 1.279 billion euros. Once again, the primary insurance increased very nicely, and the combined ratio increased by 93.5%. And this can also be seen in the return on equity, but we would like to be modest. 18.4% is a special peak, a wonderful result, everybody sees, which profited from some tailwind. There were two factors I would like to mention. First, we expected more depreciation on the fair value and PPL asset, and on the other hand, the large loss development, and you will see it on the next slide, was better than previously expected. In the year 2023, we had, and you can see it on slide six, 277 million less large losses compared to last year, where the war in Ukraine was a huge burden on the large loss situation. The 1.589 billion was not booked. The budget was higher, slightly below 1.7 billion, But if you put it on the 9 months basis, you can see that we have a buffer of more than 100 million we can start the fourth quarter with. And this is, of course, good with regard to the Hurricane Otis in Mexico, which will cost 100 million net. All in all, when it comes to the first 9 months, there is some tailwind in the large loss business. And in addition to that, I would also like to mention the technical improvements. You can see it in the figures. And of course, you can also see that we were capable of monetizing the growth of the past few years. Let's take a look at the next slide. Where do the excellent results come from? And you can see that 47% of the income comes from the primary insurance and 53% comes from the reinsurance sector, which means we're coming closer to the long-term target of the 50-50 split between primary insurance and reinsurance. However, this might level out by the end of this year. Let's move on to the next slide. You can see an overview for the year 2023. This is the outlook. We expect an insurance revenue higher than 42 million and the group net income higher than 1.5 billion and return on equity higher than 10%. And if you calculate that, you can see that we expect 15% as soon as the 1.5 billion is exceeded. And now I would like to move on with the segments.
Let's take a look at the primary insurance and a 13% increase in the top line, 51% in the bottom line, a very, very good increase in the return on equity, about 5%, 4.2%. The next slide, you can see then the industrial lines. In the industrial lines, the case is that we have a 12% adjusted for currency growth. If you look more deeply into the figures, then we're growing a bit more strong in the commercial line business and the specialty business, a little bit less because we have a more conscious business selection. The combined ratio is a very good 92.7%. This shows that on the one hand, in the new accounting standards, we have increased discounting effects. We have increased interest rates. On the other hand, we were also in a position to strengthen our resiliency and also to. We had very positive reserves. If you look at the volatile situation with the future inflation, it's probably going to fit very well our conservative policy because we didn't reach everything in the industrial lines in the first 9 months. In the bond portfolio, we have some benefits with future earnings, and everything will yield a return on equity of 13.4% altogether. So we can say we had a really very good 9 months in the industrial lines. And we also expect for the full year here above 10% return on equity. The Retail International, the next slide. This is our growth machine. You see here 33% growth in P&C, 41% in life. If you look at some special effects that I'm going to go into detail in the growth in P&C insurance, this hyperinflation accounting in Turkey plays a role. So without Turkey, where we have a very a price increase because of inflation, the growth would only be 16%. But 16% organically, it's a really a fantastic result. Anything if consider our competitors. And in life insurance, there was a special effect, was different. We have a new bank insurance cooperation, and we also have a small consolidation effects in 2 months in Brazil. But the most important thing is the bank insurance agreement also in Turkey. And without this new cooperation, the growth would be 9%. So altogether, two really great results. In both results, there is no effect from the acquisition of Liberty in South America. So that is something that next year, is going to affect our growth. The combined ratio, it's at 94.95% or 94.9%, and there are two effects. Also, the heavy burden from Turkey because of the hyperinflation that we have there. On the other hand, there's a very good technical improvement in Latin America, particularly in Brazil and Chile, that have a positive effect. Return on equity is at 11.9%, and the outlook looks a little bit approximately 8.5%. Just a quick advice, we are very satisfied with the retail international business. However, in terms of for the financing of the acquisition in South America, we're going to have equity before the acquisition. We're going to send some equity to Chile and Brazil, most than anything, so that these countries can have the closing. This may increase equity and a sink of return on equity, but temporarily. Over time, then it's going to develop into better numbers. If you look at the net slice, here we have a quick overview. Where do we stand in terms of our acquisitions in Latin America? With Sompo, we just closed the deal on August 24, so Sompo getting ready is included the August and September results. And regarding Liberty Insurance in Brasília, we expect a closing probably even in November, probably in early December of this year, so that at the year-end, profit and loss will be reflected. This and in Chile, Colombia, and Ecuador, we expect then that at the beginning of next year, we will close the deal. But other, because of the antitrust agents have already sent the approval, and we have to still discuss with financial regulators all the other comprehensive checks that we required before we can have an insurance business operating there. But I'm very confident that there won't be any showstoppers for us. Now let's go to HDI Germany or Retail Germany. You see here on the right, a return on equity of 14.2%. That is very high in the primary insurance. Regarding the growth, the picture is a little split in Germany. It's our small segment. We are growing in P&C business at 7%, and there's SMEs also from bancassurance. Whereas in life, the whole market, it sank and it shrank. We have it's -7% of the insurance revenue. Those are the premiums without the savings contributions that are and the typical analysis of the APE, the premium equivalent, the annual premium equivalent. They are down 10% in the first 9 months, and this is a serious decline in the business, but you know this from the German market. The combined ratio stands at 69% and benefits also from the bank assurance. This is the case that in the general market in car insurance, we already have some challenges, and we have to make price adjustments, and the future will be required. Let's go back to reinsurance. In reinsurance, and colleagues already described this, we have a growth of 4%. We have to clarify here this 4% that we have a shift in the structure of insurance contracts. The proportion is reinsurance contracts and non-proportionals reinsurance agreements. We had a higher margin in the past, so here you can see a profitabilization, and with a net income of 704 million after 9 months and a return on equity of 20.5%, you can, as a major shareholder, you can say you can't complain. The colleagues are there and doing a fantastic job. Now let's move on. After this overview for the first 9 months, let's go to our capitalization and then a little bit of into our investment portfolio. Regarding capitalization, we can see here an increase of a Solvency II ratio from 217 in the last quarter to a 222%. Where does this increase come from? Of course, the good results development in terms of equity, and also from the capital increase. In September, we injected 300 million euros. Without this capital increase, the solvency would have been 219%. So it is a very good development. Why so much capital? This is a very strong capitalization. We are preparing, of course, for the first consolidation of Liberty in South America. And when we consider this consolidation, once we have it, the solvency ratio will be approximately fall to about 200%. Consequently, we're very well capitalized for the business. The next slide, you can see on the one hand, with the new IFRS 17 9 accounting standards, we see very good indicators for the economic development of equity. And you can see here, we were in a position to increase the capital equity from 8.6 to 9.8 billion euros in the first 9 months. And what is also very interesting is if you consider that the dividends and the capital increase, when you see the value per share, value creation is 1.4 billion in the first 9 months, which shows a development of the equity. And this deviation that you see at the beginning of the year is 1.279 billion. You can see it in other comprehensive income, but I'll explain it in the portfolio. The following slide, you can see for the follow-up analyst call, this is my favorite slide, the new accounting standards. You can see here, I'm a big fan of it. It shows not only a good development of equity, but also what we expect of future profitability from the inventory. And we have this contractual service margin. The colleagues from controlling showed as profit, the gross pre-tax without the minorities in the balance sheet. What we see here, we have adjusted everything, and the minorities from Hannover Re are included. And we have performed a risk adjustment to have a little bit of a buffer. And when you look at all three values and you add them, so the equity for the shareholders, the expected win of the contractual service margin, we expect a positive development for the risk adjustment. And then we'll go to the total value for shareholder of above 17 billion and a value per share of more than 67 euros, which also shows, if you look into the details, that we were in a position to increase the CSM in the first 9 months to very, very good development. So how we didn't accomplish, we don't have a one thing I should mention, and I would like to say we are very conservative. You can see on the right side in the rating of our bond portfolio, there's a big shift from AAA to AA, and that has to do that we have a lot of U.S. Treasuries, and those were downgraded from AAA to AA. We had a downgrade, and you can see here the switch. So this is not an active portfolio management. The next slide, you can see the new accounting standards. It allows that you can see that our net insurance finance and investment result sank of approximately 180 million euros. And of course, that sets the question, well, with the increase in investments, well, that is the explanation. And the investment result, what used to be equity, minus the reserves. And when the interest rates increase, of course, we need other amounts. How can this net insurance finance and investment result be interpreted? Well, it's a stretch that we earn over the free risk investment with the return on investment. And you can see here a return on investment that increased from 2.1 to 2.8, but also there is a difference. On the one hand, we see that spread. On the other hand, you also see shifts in the bond portfolio. I already described, for example, with the industrial lines, we have really, really good results, and that we use that to switch that into bond portfolios from lower interest to higher interest bonds. And there was a realization loss with 180 million approximately, a negative result, which will become a better revenue. So we are very satisfied with the investment result. And second, what is also important for the future interpretation, in spite of the very conservative investment policy, we had a 4.4% reinvestment that compares with the numbers from September of 2022. It's 218 basis points more.
Still, I would like to point out one thing. All the results, all the earnings might have their limits. And when it comes to the new accounting standards, we have the so-called FVPL assets. This is what goes directly through the P&L. And when it comes to our big private equity book, we're talking about private equity, equity, and derivatives. And you can see the sensitivity we have in P&L. A 10% decline in private equity would lead to a 190 million loss. This is an impact, meaning we have a high sensitivity. So this is now, and this is why everybody in the entire industry is quite restrictive in the comments. You can see it here in the figures, 200 million positive in the private equity sector. This is where in the last 9 months we had a good development. But when it comes to the real estate, and this is no surprise, you've read the newspapers, we had a negative effect in the amount of 34 million in the first 9 months. But apart from that, the burden was much lower than I personally expected it to be. Okay, let's see what the next 6 weeks will bring. But all in all, we expect further depreciations, and we've also pointed that out in our outlook. But we do believe that the depreciation is not that high as we forecasted it at the beginning of the year. Let's come to the outlook. It is a repetition of what we already mentioned: the insurance revenue higher than 42 billion, the group net income higher than 1.5 billion, return on equity higher than 10%, we expect 15%, and the dividend will be higher than 2 euros. The final decision will be taken in March. And on the next slide, you can see the group net income for the year 2024, more than 1.7 billion euros, and return on equity much higher than 10%. And this brings us to the 1.7 billion net profit for the year 2025. This was our target for 2025, and you might know, when do we want to achieve it? Well, we are waiting for the renewal at the beginning of the year, and then at the annual press conference, we're going to give you more insight into the figures. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the overview, and I'm now happy to take your questions.